You know, you've been hearing the ads, and I've been telling you about this wonderful conference that's coming up, the Roanoke Conference, which is so important and so timely. You know, I've been telling KVI listeners that this is going to be one of the most exciting elections in Washington State in a generation. For one thing, you've got these six new initiatives that can essentially repeal the Inslee agenda in Washington State politics while he is still in office. And it looks like all of these initiatives are going to make the ballot. Secondly, we're going to have the most competitive governor's race in at least a decade. And at the Roanoke Conference, you're going to be hearing and meeting several of these candidates and local speakers and leaders of organizations and people in the news media like me to talk about it. And you are welcome to be a part of it. It's going to be in Ocean Shores last weekend in January. We're also going to have some national speakers, including one of the most fascinating people. I've been following her life and career, and I'm now going to be in the opportunity to meet her first right now via phone and later at the Roanoke Conference at Ocean Shores when she shows up to be the keynote speaker on Friday night, January 26th. Jennifer Say. Jennifer, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Nice to chat with you, John. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Jennifer Say was a champion gymnast, seven-time member of the U.S. women's team, the 1986 USA Gymnastics National Champion. That was my sport when I was in high school. But I think you were a little bit better at it than I was, Jennifer.
I don't know. What did you do? Did you really do gymnastics?
I really did gymnastics. I did rings, vault, and floor exercise.
Cool. Very cool.
My opening routine for floor was round off, we're talking 70s, round off, backhand spring, back flip into a back extension roll.
Very good.
What was your opening tumbling routine?
My opening was... Well, it was a round effect handspring, double back in a layout position.
So as you can hear, folks, she's slightly better than I was. Anyway, she went on, applied that same work ethic to climbing the corporate ladder at Levi Strauss, which I think's San Francisco.
That's correct.
And was chief marketing officer. Had a generation-long career, which was brought to an abrupt halt, not because of anything she did at the office, but because on social media she publicly opposed San Francisco extending the closure of its public schools. Again, because she opposed the extended closure of the public schools, a campaign began demanding that she resign, relinquish her position at Levi Strauss, a position which, by the way, her position which has been vindicated. And the New York Times itself talking about the awful damage done by the extended closure of the schools. And Levi's buckled. And it cost you your job. I mean, a lot of people will sacrifice a little bit here and there, but for heaven's sakes, you may have been on the short list for CEO of that company, Jennifer.
Yeah, I was on a very short list. The list was me. It was one person at the time. There were two people, and then the other guy left, and I was the only one on the list. But yeah, you got it. I was at Levi's for 23 years. I worked my way all the way up to the ladder. I was chief marketing officer for 8 years, which is a very long time in that role. You know, most people, I think the average tenure for a CMO is about 18 months. So that gives you a sense of, you know, I was successful in the job, and then I was ultimately promoted to brand president, which is what put me next in line for CEO. And it was a 2-year conflict You know, I started advocating for open schools literally right away in March 2020. I knew from the beginning that this was, that there was no off-ramp, that it was going to go on and on and on, and that it was going to be very harmful to children. And I was told repeatedly I needed to stop, and I declined to do so. And eventually I was shown the door.
Now, who's telling you to stop?
Various people internally, okay. Peers mostly, you know, my peers, the head of HR and the head of CorpCom. I mean, it was my boss, the CEO, that I guess wanted me to stop, although they were telling him he should want me to stop. So it's hard to kind of know the order of affairs.
Because I want our listeners to know that Levi Strauss is long famous for being a liberal progressive company, and you navigated those waters for, again, decades.
But well, maybe this makes me unique for the speakers at Roanoke and maybe as one of your guests, but I would have identified myself as very quote unquote progressive. I lived in San Francisco for over 30 years. I love the city. The city is quite beautiful, but I very much felt a part of that community. It was in step with my values, I guess I would say, until it wasn't. And I sent my own children to public school. I still do. And the thing that really incensed me is that by the fall of 2020, the private schools in San Francisco had opened, and all of my peers were sending their kids to in-person private school and telling me at the same time I could not advocate for the same thing, not only for my children, but the 50,000 public school students in San Francisco. And that seemed so, one, hypocritical, but also at odds with what they profess to care about, you know, vulnerable children, you know, all of these things. The San mm-hmm. Francisco public schools are disproportionately, low income, poor children, yeah. Black and brown children, all of the people they said they cared about. And these were the children that were being harmed. And I knew in my mind what was going on with these kids. It wasn't hard to imagine the circumstances that many of these children were finding themselves in. And it wasn't hard to imagine that they would disengage from school and that there would be tremendous learning loss and there would be mental health impacts because of the isolation. You didn't need to be a genius to understand that. You certainly didn't need to be a doctor, you know. So it just felt too important to me. It felt like we were harming a generation, which is exactly what happened. And, you know, when I started, I didn't really think I was putting my job at risk, but I would say about a year in, I knew, and I made the decision to keep going.
Now, you've been proven right. What do the people who were pressing you to keep quiet and then pressuring you to leave the company, what do they have to say for themselves?
Nothing. They're silent. I mean, the general attitude at this point, and it's not just, you know, colleagues and work folks that were disparaging me. I mean, I've lost most of my friends for the position that I took. And these are old friends, 30 years, you know, friends from college, that kind of thing. They have nothing. They have nothing to say, because at this point, I think what is confounding for people is, why did you have to be so difficult? It was a scary time. Maybe they were wrong, but they did it for the right reason, meaning all of the, you know, the Board of Ed and the mayor and the governor and, you know, Gavin Newsom, all these folks, they were doing it with the best of intentions, and you just had to be so difficult and such a big mouth. And why are you so disobedient?
Because they were wrong.
No, said that.
Because they were wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. And because children were being harmed. And if you won't stand up for children, I don't know. You don't have any. People ask me all the time, why was this the hill you were willing to die on? And I say, why weren't you? We're talking about children. And at a certain point, we're really talking about free speech. And if you're not willing to die on that hill, then I don't believe you have one. So no, nobody
good
has apologized,
you.
Not a single person. There's a lot of people, you know, who I met over the last few years who took a similar position. There weren't many of us in the beginning. And most of them have told me at this point that they have friends that have apologized. And I have not experienced that, not one.
That's really something, because I have said that being a conservative in Seattle, I am conservative, Jennifer, and I've been broadcasting for decades here in Seattle, here on KVI, that one of the differences between people on the right and people on the left is that liberals tend to take political differences more personally than conservatives. So that
it seems that way.
Yeah, no, if you oppose affirmative action, you're not wrong, you're racist. If you oppose some welfare or homeless programs because you think they make the problem worse, you have no compassion. It gets very personal very quickly. And I'm guessing that when you were saying what was unfashionable, but again, vindicated, correct. Turned out to be completely correct. You were, you're off with the Trump people. You're off with the narrow-minded people. You're off with the anti-science people.
Yeah, exactly. And you're all the bad things. I was called a racist because, I mean, I had to ask for clarification on how this made me a racist. But, of course, if you're one bad thing that veers from the left, then you're all the bad things. And they'll sort of jerry-rig a rationale. The reason was, well, the public schools are populated with, you know, disproportionately, you know, student body that is black and brown. And so if you want them to go to school, you don't care if they die. That was the rationale. So you're a racist. You're a Trumper. You're a fascist. You're a Christo-fascist. I had to look that up. You're QAnon. All these things.
When you have to look up the insults, it gives you an idea of how out there they are.
It's crazy. Okay, I'm Jewish and whatever. Anyway, you're right. And I don't think I understood that truly before this happened. And I guess I would ask your opinion on this. Do you think that's changed? Like, do you think that, you know, Trump being elected really drove the left insane?
The answer is yes. No, it is. And you see and you see how unhinged many elements of the left are now. But yes, they have truly lost their bearings and their sense of perspective. I really believe that has happened.
There was some of what you described, but it became just, if you take any position or ask any question that veers in any way from the left position, and that position is firmly rooted in hatred of Donald Trump, then you are all the bad things, and you're just like him. And I just don't, you know, there was a time when you could hold certain positions and be part of the left or the right, and you know, you could be a pro-life Democrat. You could be, you know, that existed. You can't be any of those things anymore. You have to kind of wholesale embrace the most far left tenets of the party, or you're not welcome. It's insane.
Yes.
And it's not even everybody. I mean, here's the thing that's so crazy is there's lots of folks going, well, I don't know. That seems weird. That doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, look at what's happening right now. In regards to Israel, you do.
Yeah, that's the next issue. That's the next issue, Jennifer, where we are seeing
such a divide.
We're seeing the intolerant left grow and ever more preachy, ever more irrational, and ever more intolerant. Jennifer Say is going to be speaking at Roanoke. She's the author of Levi's Unbuttoned, a great book. And again, this is one courageous woman who stood up for her beliefs and was vindicated. And here's the news about Roanoke. We're almost sold out. Okay. We sold out last year and we're on the verge of selling out again this year. So if you want to meet Jennifer, if you want to hear Jennifer speak at Roanoke and all these other people like Brian Haywood and yours truly and Raul Garcia, Semi Bird, Dave Reichert, etc. Just go online to roanokeconference.org. That's roanokeconference.org and sign up. I'm guessing that this thing will be completely sold out by the end of the week. roanokeconference.org. Jennifer, tell our listeners what happened since.
Well, I left in a bit of a blaze of glory. So in February or in January of 2022, I was told there wasn't a place for me at the company anymore. I was offered a very large, hefty severance to walk away quietly. I did not want to sign a non-disclosure agreement, so I quit publicly instead with an op-ed in Barry Weiss's The Free Press, although it was before it was The Free Press. And I, you know, really spoke about the illiberalism, the silencing of debate and dissent, not just at Levi's, but in the Democratic Party more broadly, San Francisco, which is sort of a bastion of far-left politics. Since then, I wrote a book, as you mentioned, Levi's Unbuttoned, and I am in the process of making a film called Generation COVID. It's a documentary film about the harms done to children from not just prolonged school closures, but all of the other restrictions. I mean, in San Francisco, in my former hometown, the playgrounds were closed for close to 10 months. Yeah. And people may think that's not a big deal if you don't live in the city, but when you live in a city like San Francisco, no one has a backyard. Like, these children were locked at home. They were not allowed to
play
outside.
Have a place to play.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm making that film. We're finished shooting and we're starting to edit now. We followed about 10 children and families from across the country to really dig into and understand the impact.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you at Roanoke, Jennifer, and hearing more from you as well. So thanks for making the time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. I hope your listeners get their tickets and come. I look forward to meeting everyone.
Again, the Roanoke Conference with Jennifer Say is going to happen last weekend in January. I'm going. I'd love to see KVI listeners there. Yes, you are invited. If you want to get more involved in politics, or if you just want to learn more about politics and issues, just about every conceivable issue is going to be represented with booths and panel discussions and speeches and debates and shared meals, banquets. It's all just a lot of fun, and it's very casual. It's very informal. How could it not be? It's Ocean Shores in January. So again, that's the last weekend of January, Friday the 26th, Saturday the 27th, wraps up on Sunday the 28th. You are invited. RoanokeConference.org.